This is Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. Dr. Jeffrey Lewis, who is an arms control expert, has written what I guess you could call a speculative novel. It's called the 2020 Commission Report, and it's written as a report by an official commission, a report on a North Korean nuclear attack on the United States that kills over a million people. And I have to ask you, this is a very scary book. I haven't read the whole thing, but by all accounts, this scares the pants off you when you read it. Why did you feel the need to write? And you're a bona fide expert. Why did you feel you needed to write a novel about this?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. If the United States and North Korea were to have a nuclear war, that would be crazy. And yet it's possible. And it turns out when you write nonfiction, it's very hard to rationally explain to people how two countries might do something that's crazy. And so it's much easier to show it and tell a story. And so I found that fiction was just a much easier way to convey all the ways that things could go wrong.
Okay, now the fiction part is the scenario that you outlined, but you based some of the things that happen on actual events, correct?
Yes. Everything that happens is a thing that's happened before. And, you know, although maybe some people would disagree, I don't think there are any great villains in the book. I just took real people and I had them do the kinds of things that they do every day. And I just let them keep doing that. But what I changed slightly was the context. And that helps illustrate how if we keep doing the things we're doing, we run some risks.
Okay, well, now, President Trump figures prominently in this book. And just in the interest of letting everybody know your bias here, let me read what you wrote in an op-ed in the Washington Post, I guess it was last year. This is like a postscript to the outline of the scenario that you portray in the book. You write, I am a nuclear weapons expert. Trump's presidency is my personal nightmare. If Trump wants to use nuclear weapons, whether it's legal won't matter. President Trump should stop tweeting now. Because a prominent plot point in your book is that what sets off this final nuclear exchange is a Trump tweet. Can you tell us why that would be at all plausible?
Sure. Well, you know, it strikes me that it's strange that people would think it's not plausible. I mean, the reality is that what the president says matters. And foreign leaders look to what the president says as a way to get information in the same way that the normal people do. So what happens in the story is that there's a crisis, right? And there's a lot of tension. And the North Koreans are trying to understand what this crisis means, right? Does this crisis mean, some sanctions, or does this crisis mean the beginning of an American invasion? I think the tweet itself that I write in the book is quite mild, but it's the context that gives it meaning, and it's the context that causes the North Koreans to take it the wrong way.
And the tweet that this fictitious tweet that President Trump sends out reads as follows: Little Rocket Man won't be around much longer. And in the context of this current crisis, and I'll have to leave it to people to read the book to get the full story here. But in the context of the crisis, Kim Jong-un takes that as basically a prediction that there's going to be a strike on against him.
Yeah, I just really picked up some language he had used during the campaign where he talked about how possibly China, should take Kim Jong-un out. You know, it was just some careless language that, again, on a day-to-day basis, doesn't really matter that much. But my concern is that in a crisis where people are looking for meaning, that kind of careless language really could accelerate things.
But then what happens is North Korea launches its arsenal, and unlike some of the reports we've had that it doesn't work or it wouldn't survive reentry, it not only gets past our defensive missile system, but enough of them survive reentry to hit New York and Washington, which is a pretty major gaping hole in our defensive system. Now, is that part of the book based on reality, or were you making that up?
No. All of the quotes about the challenges with the ground-based missile defense, ground-based mid-course system in Alaska are true. In the book, I mentioned that there's a manufacturing defect, which there really is. And the Missile Defense Agency chose not to correct the manufacturing defect. They decided that going forward they would change it. But all of the interceptors sitting in Alaska have that same defect. And then the question is, in a crisis, if there is a launch, will it matter? We don't know.
All right. So I try to establish all this so people understand that even though this is a work of fiction, you have based this on things that could plausibly happen. So given all this and given your clear concern that there is considerable jeopardy here, how do you assess what has happened lately, which is that the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's next meeting with Kim Jong-un, which he apparently was or with the North Koreans, was called off by the president?
Yeah, well, so what I think is happening right now is that the president really does want some kind of agreement. And I think no one on the president's staff believes that such an agreement is possible or that such an agreement is a good idea. I do think Mike Pompeo is heavily invested in this because it's kind of his signature issue. But what I think you're seeing is this kind of tension where the president promises that a deal will be struck and his staff doesn't think that's possible. And so I think this it's not a cancellation. It's a delay. But I do think that you are seeing the people around the president gradually trying to persuade him that this is not a good idea. And, you know, what the book explores is the idea of, if this process collapses, if we don't have some kind of agreement, if we do go back to the situation we were in 2017 where there's a lot of pressure, how might that go wrong?
Well, I mean, reading about this book tells me that the president's right. You have to absolutely and completely denuclearize North Korea. I mean, wouldn't you agree with that?
Yes, but I would also like a pony. the reality is that North Korea is not giving up its nuclear weapons. There is nothing in it for North Korea. They have the capability to hold the United States at bay, and no country has ever given up a capability like that. You know, my original research when I was a doctoral student was on China's nuclear arsenal. And, you know, they desperately wanted the ability to hold first the United States and then the Soviet Union at risk with nuclear weapons. And once they got that, they never gave it up. So, of course, it would be best if North Korea were to denuclearize, but that's not the world we live in.
Okay, so in other words, we have to get used to the idea of North Korea being a nuclear power, something that Donald Trump has said he would absolutely not accept.
That's true. Although, you know, the reality is he's the one person that does seem to be willing to accept it. I mean, he sort of says that he's not going to do this. But, every president before President Trump has said, you know, they would meet with Kim Jong-un or his father, Kim Jong-il, or the grandfather before that, Kim Il-sung. They would not meet with them unless they abandoned their nuclear weapons ambitions. And so, you know, the president says one thing, but he does another. And as critical as I am of him, I actually think that dropping our insistence on denuclearization, which I think he has done in practice, although none of his staff agrees, that would be a good thing.
Really? So you are, in fact, encouraged by his approach. As critical as you are of him in this book, you're encouraged by what he's doing now in real life.
I think that he, yeah, I mean, I don't think the process is going to play out well. And I think in the end, he'll turn on a dime and he'll lash out at Kim and we'll be back to where we are in the book. So I'm very worried about it. So I wouldn't say that I endorse the process. But I do think that at some basic level, the idea that, you know, you've got to get in the room and you've got to talk to them, it's not wrong.
What would have to happen to assure you that this nightmare scenario is finally off the table?
Well, assure is a pretty strong word for somebody who studies nuclear weapons. I don't ever feel assured. Obviously, if North Korea gave up all the weapons, that would be fantastic. But as I say, I don't think that's going to happen. I think what you have to do is you have to get to a point where our relationship is different, where we don't feel like we are drifting into this kind of conflict. And what that really requires at the end of the day is making our peace with the fact that there is this, you know, pretty ugly regime in North Korea. It's not a pleasant thing, but kind of accepting that reality, getting U.S. policymakers to say, like, yes, this is not a good government, but it's not a government worth having a nuclear war over. Getting them there would make me much more comfortable.
Yeah, I think most people would be okay with that. I think we've given up this idea that we have to remake every nation in our own democratic image. But there also is this fear that Kim Jong-un is a crazy person who, without provocation, could fire off missiles like this. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I look at that pretty closely in the book. I don't think he's crazy. I think he's ruthless. You know, having his uncle executed wasn't insane. It was the right thing to do. It was just terrible, right? This is why neither you nor I are the bloodthirsty dictator of North Korea. Similarly, assassinating his half-brother, ruthless. What I consider in the book is the possibility that Kim Jong-un is learning all the wrong lessons, right? He is learning that in order to hold power, he has to be bold and aggressive, and he has to hit before his enemies hit him. That's one thing when it comes to rubbing VX in someone's face in an airport. It's another thing when it involves nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Ultimately, even in your scenario, the United States attacks and wins the conventional war, correct?
Yes, absolutely. I think that I understand why the North Koreans might use nuclear weapons. They want to try to hold off an invasion, at least in the book. And I think probably in real life, that won't do it for them.
You do also make it clear, though, with your graphic descriptions of the aftermath of this nuclear exchange, that this is the last thing you would ever want to subject your nation to.
Yes. You know, I'm a member of the governor of Hiroshima's Roundtable on Nuclear Disarmament, and I go to Hiroshima every year. And so I've spent a lot of time reading the stories from people who survived that day and looking at what happened. And it would really be a tremendous catastrophe, even if one nuclear weapon were to go off in the United States, let alone the half dozen that I have happen in the book.
And so it would, even if we won the conventional war afterwards, it would be worth preventing a nuclear exchange at all costs. And let's be fair. I don't think anybody in this administration would remotely want to flirt with that, correct?
That's right. And in fact, you know, while I'm certainly critical of the president, you know, I think if you look at the book, no one in the administration in the book wants a nuclear war. They all make decisions that are designed to avoid a nuclear war. Every bad decision they make is often a response to some other worse decision that they don't want to make. And so, you know, there is no sense in this book that anybody ever wants any outcome other than avoiding this thing. It's just that they can't figure out how to do that.
Yeah. Dr. Jeffrey Lewis is the director of the East Asia Non-Proliferation Program at the Middlebury Institute of International Studies, and he also runs a website called armscontrolwonk.com because he is an arms control wonk. Dr. Lewis, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
That was a pleasure.